Chapter 1. The World of the Black Magician. The driving force behind black magic is hunger for power. Its ultimate aim was stated, appropriately enough, by the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were afraid that if they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. But the serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In occultism, the serpent is a symbol of wisdom, and for centuries magicians have devoted themselves to the search for the forbidden fruit, which would bring fulfillment of the serpent's promise. Carried to its furthest extreme, the black magician's ambition is to wield supreme power over the entire universe, to make himself a god. Black magic is rooted in the darkest levels of the mind, and this is a large part of its attraction. But it is much more than a product of the love of evil or a liking for mysterious mumbo-jumbo. It is a titanic attempt to exalt the stature of man, to put man in the place which religious thought reserves for God. In spite of its crudities and squalors, this gives it a certain magnificence. The great fascination of magic is in the type of thought on which it is based. Magical thinking is not random, it has its own laws and its own logic, but it is poetic rather than rational. It leads to conclusions which are usually scientifically unwarranted, but which often seem poetically right. It is a type of thinking which has been prevalent all through the history of Europe, which lies behind huge areas of our religion, philosophy, and literature, and which is a major guidepost to the regions of the spiritual and the supernatural, the regions of which science has nothing to say. There is no necessity to accept it, but it rings many a faraway summoning bell in the depths of the mind. It is natural to think of magic as a thing of the past, which must have withered to dust under the hard light of modern science and skepticism, but in fact this is not the case. Magical thinking is still deeply embedded in the human mentality. Magic has been practiced throughout European history, down to and including the present day, and it has attracted more interest and support in the last 100 years than at any time since the Renaissance. No one is a black magician in his own eyes, and modern occultists, whatever their beliefs and practices, think of themselves as high-minded white magicians, not as sinister brothers of the left-hand path. In October 1964, the Los Angeles police arrested 39 gypsies on charges of fortune-telling. The gypsies immediately accused the police of violating their religious freedom. They were not telling fortunes, but giving spiritual readings. Quote, "Gypsies are born with the power to look into the future. It's part of our religion. We are members of the Palmistry Church." Unquote. About a year earlier, the British witch covens celebrated one of their great annual festivals, All Hallows Eve, with rites involving the magic circle, the magic knife, incantations, nudity, and frenzied dances. One of the St. Albans witches, naked except for a string of beads, is reported as saying, "We are not anti-Christian, we just have other means of spiritual satisfaction." The most notorious and most brilliantly gifted of modern magicians, Aleister Crowley, was regarded as a black sorcerer by many other occultists, and his rituals are saturated with sex and blood to an extent which, to put it mildly, scarcely fits the normal conception of white magic. But he himself professed nothing but contempt for black magicians. Among them, he included Christian scientists and spiritualists, as well as those of his fellow occultists who disapproved of him. In the same way, the writers of the old grimoires, or magical textbooks, which instruct the reader in methods of calling up evil spirits, killing people, causing hatred and destruction, or forcing women to submit to him in love, did not think of themselves as black magicians. On the contrary, the grimoires are packed with prayers to God and the angels, fastings, and self-mortifications, and ostentatious piety. The principal process in the grimoire of Honorius, which is usually considered the most diabolical of them all, overflows with impassioned and perfectly sincere appeals to God and devout sayings of mass. It also involves tearing out the eyes of a black cock and slaughtering a lamb, and its purpose is to summon up the devil. It is not merely that people are naturally disinclined to pin nasty labels on themselves, and that the human mind can always find excellent reasons for evoking the devil or killing an enemy or causing harm and destruction, the magician sets out to conquer the universe. To succeed, he must make himself master of everything in it, evil as well as good, cruelty as well as mercy, pain as well as pleasure. Deep at the heart of the magical outlook is the pagan but not ignoble conviction that everything has its place and function in the order of the universe, and that all types of experience are potentially rewarding. The complete man, which is what the magician attempts to be, is the man who has experienced and mastered all things. This conviction is closely related to the magical theory of the relationship between God, man, and the universe.